إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, in the famous incident of the seerah in which our mother Aisha was slandered with an evil lie, where a very vile rumor was spread about her character, one of the people who was spreading this rumor was a person by the name of Misdah. And Misdah, his mother was a cousin of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. And he was one of those who was spreading this rumor about his own cousin Aisha. And to make matters worse, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq had helped Misdah set up a household. Misdah was poor. He didn't have money. When he emigrated from Medina to Medina, he had nothing. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu helped him to help finance a household, to purchase a house, to become married. And how does Misdah return the favor? He actually says these vile lies about his own cousin and the mother of the believers and the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha. So when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq heard that his own cousin, Misdah, was saying things about Aisha, and he had financed him, he said, I swear by Allah, I will never give a penny to Misdah as long as I live. How can he do this to me after all that I have done? So he swore to Allah that he would never pay Misdah another penny. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in Surah An-Nur, وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ And do not swear to Allah, وَلَا يَأْتَلِي Let not the people who are better and wealthier swear to Allah that they will never give their relatives and the poor and the emigrants in the way of Allah. Let them forgive and overlook and forget. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا Turn away, forgive, forget. Don't you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you like you forgive others? So when Abu Bakr heard this verse, he said, I swear by Allah, I will continue to give him money as long as I live. What a noble verse in the Qur'an. And this verse forms the topic of our khutbah today. The khutbah will deal with turning the other cheek and forgiving. Subhanallah, if anybody has the right to be angry, it was Abu Bakr. If anyone had the right to cut off the ties of kinship, it was Abu Bakr. If anyone had the right to swear to Allah that I'm never gonna forgive this crime, this was his daughter. Not just any daughter. The mother of the believers, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it wasn't just a sarcastic comment. It wasn't just derogatory comment. It wasn't just hardship. It was a lie, the slander, the evil, vile slander that touches upon the innocent character of our mother Aisha. And not only this, it was a relative. Not only this, it was somebody whom Abu Bakr had financed, had given money. If anybody in the history of the world had the right to be angry, it was Abu Bakr. And yet what does Allah say? Oh Abu Bakr, you are ulul fadl. You are better than him. Allah called him in the Quran, ulul fadli wassa'a. Ulul fadl means you are the better person. Allah testified, you are the better person. Why don't you forgive? If anybody has the right to exact vengeance, it would have been Abu Bakr. But what does Allah say? Ya Abu Bakr, you are the better of the two. Allah has given you fadl and sa'ah. And here this means Allah has raised your ranks and given you more money than him. Don't swear to Allah that you will not forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. Turn the other cheek. Don't you want Allah to forgive you? أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ Brothers and sisters, it is human nature that we will get into problems with people. Wallahi, this is what society is. You will fight. People will be sarcastic. You will get angry back. People will take your rights and perhaps you will take their rights. This is the reality of living in a society. People will hurt you and you will hurt them back. What does our religion tell us? What is the philosophy of Islam in this regard? Our religion tells us, our Lord commands us, and our Prophet ﷺ demonstrated for us what is the reality of our religion, and that is at-tasamuh, turning the other cheek, al-afu, al-ghufran, forgiving, overlooking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in so many verses about the reality of forgiveness. He links forgiveness with entering Jannah. He links forgiveness with the people of Jannah. Allah says in the Quran, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا كَعَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ Grace with one another for Allah's forgiveness and for entering a Jannah whose width is as big as the heavens and earth. Who are these people? Who are the people that will enter this Jannah? And Allah says they are those who give. الَّذِينَ يُفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ They are those who are generous. Whether they have money or not, whether they're wealthy or not, they will be generous. And what else? وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ They are those who control their anger. The people of Jannah, the people of Maghfirah, are those who control their anger. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ They control their tongue. They don't get angry when they deserve to get angry. When it is their right to get angry, they don't get angry. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ And when they're angry, they also then forgive the people. They forgive the people. And when Allah says they forgive, this means some wrong has been done. It's legitimate. Because if the wrong is not legitimate, you don't have the right to forgive. If the wrong is not legitimate, you don't have the right to forgive. So when Allah says you have the right to forgive, and then you forgive, this means a genuine wrong. You have a legitimate cause of grievance. Somebody has done something to you they should not have done. And what is the response that you have? وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ They forgive all nas, all people, not just relatives, not just close people, not just friends, not just acquaintances. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ All of mankind, they will forgive. It doesn't matter who the person is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us that those who forgive are demonstrating the reality of taqwa. وَأَن تَعْفُوا أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى If you forgive, this is closer to the taqwa of Allah. This is the reality of being of the muttaqeen. وَأَن تَعْفُوا أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى If you forgive, then you are closer to the taqwa of Allah. The more you forgive, the more closer you are to the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in Surah Ash-Shura the characteristics of the believers, the characteristics of the mu'mineen. And of those characteristics, we all know those who pray, those who give charity, those who do this and that. But in this series of verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ And if somebody does wrong to you, Allah says, you have the right to do the same wrong back to them. وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا If somebody does wrong to you, you have the right, Allah is saying. And this is wallahi of the mercy of our religion, that Allah did not require forgiveness. He allowed us to take revenge. This is permissible, but Allah never encouraged it. It is permissible because Allah knows we are of different levels of faith. Not all of us have the reality to forgive. And some of us will want to exact vengeance. So Allah says, وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٍ مِثْلُهَا This is the law. The law says you have the right to do the same amount of wrong that somebody did to you. But what does Allah want? فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ Whoever forgives and makes up the problem, repairs the fault line, Because when somebody does wrong to you, what happens? Your relationship breaks. Your relationship breaks. This is the reality of human situation. When your colleague backbites you, when your boss does something, when your friend is sarcastic, when your son, when your daughter, when your wife, when your husband, when your relative is mean to you, the human nature reaction is to be mean back to them. But what does Allah say? فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ Whoever forgives and repairs the bridge. أَصْلَحَ You're repairing, you're mending, you're putting the band-aid, you're solving the wound there, you're bandaging the wound. فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ Whoever does this, Allah will reward him. And know that Allah loves those who are righteous and do ihsan. And ihsan means you do more than what is required of you. Ihsan means you do more than what is required. So Allah says, when you go the extra mile, I will also go the extra mile. And when I go the extra mile, what do you think will happen? أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ Allah doesn't even say what will be the ajr. Imagine, Allah does not say you get 10 rewards, you get 50 rewards. No! Allah says, I know how difficult this is, so you leave the reward to me. أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ You leave the reward to Allah. There is no numeral given. There's no exact, if you do X, Allah will give you Y. Why? Because to forgive and forget is the most difficult thing. And Allah knows this, so therefore He doesn't link it to any number. He just says, leave it to me, I will take care of your reward. فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ So what do you think the reward will be when Allah the Kareem, the Mannan, the Razzaq, the Ra'uf, the Rahman, when Allah, the one who controls all of the treasures of this heaven and earth, He tells you, don't worry, I will take care of your ajr. How much do you think the ajr will be? And this is what Allah has said, to the one who forgives and forgets. Whoever forgives and mends, then his reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has demonstrated this over and over again in his lifetime. Look at the characteristics, look at the incidents of the seerah in our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lifetime. When Aisha was asked to describe the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said in a longer hadith, the shorter hadith of course is kana khuluqu al-Qur'an, but there's a longer hadith in Tirmidhi. She said that the Prophet ﷺ, مَا كَانَ فَاحِشًا وَلَا مُتَفَحِشًا He was neither vulgar nor vile. He was neither loud, nor did he return evil with evil. Rather, he would overlook and forgive when evil was done to him. This is how Aisha described the Prophet ﷺ. In five words, she had to describe five sentences. What are the main characteristics that come to mind? And so she said, he was of good tongue, of good spirit, always optimistic, not vulgar, not harsh, not loud, and he would always forgive and overlook when people were mean and nasty to him. This is how Aisha remembered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And all of us have heard the beautiful stories from the seerah. We don't need to be reminded of a Ta'if. We don't need to be reminded of that disastrous occasion when the people stoned him and he had every right to exact vengeance. And Allah Azza wa Jal gave him all of that power through the angel of the mountain. Do as you please and you will be listened to. But what did he say? He raised his hand and said, no, forgive them, forgive them. As the blood has not yet dried from his face. As his body is still aching. As the wounds have not healed. Still, he raises his hands and he says, forgive them, O Allah, for they don't know what they are doing. فَإِنَّ قَوْمِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ They don't know. Forgive them. Perhaps Allah will guide them or their children after them. And this is the reality of what happened. And the stories of the forgiveness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are simply too many to mention. And we talk about them in our seerah classes all the time. How often did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgive? So much so that when Mecca was conquered, at the conquest of Mecca, at the Fath Mecca, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgave the very people who tortured and persecuted him for 20 years, even Abu Sufyan, the leader of the Quraysh, and at that time not a Muslim, even Abu Sufyan was astonished. He was simply astonished. How could you do this? And he said, مَا أَحْلَمَكَ مَا أَصْبَرَكَ مَا أَعْفَاكَ How generous you are. How gentle you are. How forgiving you are. This is the Abu Sufyan who is not yet a Muslim. But he sees with his own eyes how much the Prophet ﷺ is forgiving. And he says, مَا أَحْلَمَكَ. I am just amazed how much you can forgive and forget and overlook and get rid of all of these grudges in your heart. How can you do this? How could he do this? Because he was رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. He was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he is showing us what is the reality of our religion. So, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, when we forgive others, especially when those others are not Muslims, we are demonstrating for them the reality of our faith. It was the forgiveness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that caused so many of his enemies to realize the genuine nature of the religion of Islam. And we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless them with Islam. But what if they are not guided to Islam? Even then Allah says, don't worry about it. Your job is to forgive. My job is to take care of them. What does Allah say when the mushrikun, when the pagans of Mecca were ridiculing the Prophet ﷺ, were making fun of him? What does Allah say in the Quran? Allah says in the Quran, فَعْفُوا وَصْفَحُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ. You turn around, turn the other cheek, neglect them, ignore them, forgive them, and Allah will bring the command to them. Whether it is guidance, whether it is punishment, your job is not to punish. Leave it to me. So some of them, they were punished. Others were guided. But what was the Prophet commanded to do? فَعْفُوا وَصْفَحُوا. Your job is to forgive and to neglect this, ignore it until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the command to them. And what is truly amazing, therefore, is that our religion commands unconditional forgiveness. The better thing to do in all circumstances is to forgive, not just to Muslims, not just to wives and children, not just to relatives or friends, but everybody unconditionally. As Allah says in the Quran, عَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. They forgive all of mankind. And as the Quran commands the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Allah commands him, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ. I command you to forgive. And this was a command to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for us, it is something we strive to. For us, forgiveness is an option, meaning we can take the vengeance to the same amount. But for the Prophet ﷺ, Allah commands him, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ. You must forgive them. And turn away from them. And وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ. Command what is best and turn away from the jahilin. Don't act like the jahil in response to the jahil. Don't act ignorant when somebody acts ignorant. If somebody acts foolish, you act dignified and turn away and do not act in the same manner. And the Quran tells us with regards to a group of people who had broken Allah's covenant and had attempted to trick the Muslims, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَعْفُوا وَصْفَحُوا. That Allah azza wa tells the Muslims, turn away from them and forgive them. For indeed, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Even with regards to the murderer in the Quran. And murder, as we know, is the greatest crime after shirk. What does Allah say? كُتِبْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِصَاصِ فِي الْقَتْلَى. Qisas has been prescribed. What does qisas mean? A life for a life. This is qisas. Allah says, I have allowed you qisas. A life for a life. But what is the very same, not the next verse, the same verse. In the same verse, what does Allah say? فَمَنْ عُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٍ. But if you forgive your brother something, if you forgive the qisas, then let him follow that up بِالْمَعْرُوفِ with good deeds. Subhanallah. In the same verse that Allah says, you have the right to practice qisas. If somebody kills your relative, you have the right to go to the Islamic court and say, this murderer should be executed by the state. This is the Islamic right. But Allah says, but if you forgive, then it is good. And let the one who has been forgiven follow up that forgiveness with good back to the family. So even the murderer, Allah Azza wa Jal encourages, and he uses the term akhihi, that if a Muslim murders another Muslim, still his Islam is there. And Allah calls him akhihi, even though this is the one who murdered your relative, yet the relationship of ukhuwatul Islam, Allah says, if you're able to forgive, then do it, and that will be the better thing to do. And of the most difficult matters, my dear brothers and sisters, to forgive, of the most difficult matters, is when somebody whom you love wrongs you. Wallahi, it's easy to forgive a stranger. If you're walking on the street and somebody says something, you don't know him. He makes fun of your religion. He makes fun of your appearance. You say, khalas, he doesn't know. Allah will forgive. But when your wife or your husband, when your son or daughter, when your mother or father, the one whom you've done so much for and you love so much, when they stab you in the heart, when they say a harsh word, when they show you disrespect, rudeness, impoliteness, wallahi, then it is very difficult to forgive. And yet even this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explicitly commands in the Quran. Allah says in the Quran that, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O you who believe, إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ أَوْلَادِكُمْ عَدُوًا لَكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ Some of your spouses and children, they will be like enemies to you. What does this mean, they will be like enemies to you? So scholars say that it is possible in the most extreme circumstance, and this happened in Mecca, some of the wives were begging their husbands not to embrace Islam. And they threatened, if you embrace Islam, we will leave you. So obviously this is a clear case of animosity. But even a loving Muslim wife or husband could possibly be a type of enemy. And Ibn Abbas explained how, that in your love for your spouse, you might disobey Allah. You want to please them, you will get haram money to please them. You want to do something to help them, but you don't care about the sharia of Allah. So Allah, and they might ask you something. And this is in the case of even, we have in the case of the wives of the Prophet, they were asking for more halal money. And it is halal for them. But we know our Prophet would not give them the luxuries of this world. So this might be a type of friction, animosity, that Allah says they might be enemies to you. إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ عَدُوًّا لَكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ So be careful of this. But then what does Allah say? وَإِن تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا وَتَغْفِرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ Three separate verbs when it comes to the family. Never in the Quran have three verbs of forgiveness come together as they have for the family. Ponder over this point, my dear brothers and sisters. Not for the Quraysh, not for the murderers, not for the Yahud and the Ahli Kitab, for the family. Allah mentions three verbs of forgiveness. Why? Because the most difficult to forgive is the family. The most difficult to forgive is the family. And all of us know this from our personal experiences. What does Allah say? وَإِن تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا وَتَغْفِرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ If you're able to erase the sin away, or تَصْفَحُوا, just turn it over. Don't think about it too much. Or تَغْفِرُوا, forgive it. Any of these three things, or all three of them, just erase it away from your memory. Or cover it up with another memory. Or actually go ahead and forgive it. Whatever you do, know that Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. So notice here how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encouraged us to forgive our family members. To forgive them, overlook their faults. Just wipe it clean from your heart. Because afu means to wipe it clean. Safaha means to just cover it up, throw something on top of it. And of course ghafara means to forgive from your heart. And Allah uses all three of these. وَإِن تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا وَتَغْفِرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ Now it is true, my dear brothers and sisters, it is true that on some very rare occasions in the seerah, our Prophet ﷺ did not forgive. And it is very common for a Muslim to say, oh, but the Prophet ﷺ didn't forgive this person, Abu Lahab for example, or Abu Jahl for example, and he didn't forgive Umayyah ibn Khalaf. Now my dear brothers and sisters, yes, it is true. You can count them on the fingers of one hand. But subhanallah, are you going to compare your relative to Abu Jahl? Are you going to compare your relative to Abu Jahl? And realize these few exceptions, each one of them repeatedly was insolent and arrogant to Allah and His Messenger. Repeatedly. Not just once. Never in the entire seerah did anybody come to the Prophet ﷺ asking to be forgiven except that he forgave them. Never. Not even once did a man come to the Prophet ﷺ asking to be forgiven and accepting Islam except that the Prophet ﷺ forgave, including the son of Abu Jahl. The son of Abu Jahl, whose name was on the list of most wanted, killed dead or alive, Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl. This was Ikrimah, the one who did so much at Badr, did so much in Mecca. The Prophet ﷺ did not forgive him in the conquest of Mecca. His list comes, there were two men, or some say three men, that were not to be forgiven. And number one on the list, Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl. But even Ikrimah, when he regretted and repented, and he wanted to embrace Islam, he covered his face up and entered the Muslim camp and walked up to the Prophet ﷺ and he asked for forgiveness. And so in front of all of the Sahaba, the Prophet ﷺ forgave the son of the Fir'aun of this Ummah. And Fir'aun of this Ummah is Abu Jahl. And this Ikrimah was his son. And he forgave him because he came to him asking for forgiveness. My dear brothers and sisters, this is what our religion teaches us, that for Muslims, unconditionally, we should forgive. Without any questions, the better thing to do is to forgive. And for those who are rejecting Islam, even then the general rule is to forgive and overlook. And even if they're enemies to Allah and His Messenger, Allah says, you forgive, I will take care of them in this world or the next. As for the Prophet's few exceptions, those they have their wisdoms in the seerah, those are the exceptions, the general rule. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever forgives and whoever overlooks, then Allah loves those who practice ihsan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst them. Barakallahu li wa lakum fi al-Qur'an al-Azim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bima fihi min al-ayati wa dhikri al-hakim. Aqulu ma tasma'un واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين كن ذنبا فاستغفروا انه هو الغفور الرحيم
استغفر الله استغفر الله الذي لا اله الا هو الحي القيوم واتوب اليه استغفر الله سبحانه جل وعلا بذنب الله اللهم اتوب لي فاقول السماء
بسم الله الحمد لله الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وبعد. Can I ask the brothers to move forward? We are already out of space in the back. My dear brothers and sisters, very briefly before we conclude, there are four levels of how we react to a wrong that is done to us. One of these levels is haram. The second level is permissible. The third level is good. And the fourth level is encouraged. I repeat, there are four ways to respond when somebody does something wrong to us. If somebody is mean, sarcastic, nasty, belittling, if somebody takes our right and property, there are four ways to respond. The first way is haram for us to respond. Unfortunately, that is all too common. And that is that we hold a grudge and we reply to the evil with even worse evil. If somebody made one sarcastic comment, for the rest of our lives, we will make sarcastic comments about him. If somebody said one thing about us, for 10 years, we will say bad things about him. And in this case, my dear brothers and sisters, what has happened is, you have changed from the one who has been wronged to the one who is doing the wrong. Because Allah only allows you to take back the same as has been taken from you. But unfortunately, most of us, we go beyond. And if somebody says one thing, we will say 10 things back. If somebody says something mildly sarcastic, we will be extremely nasty and mean. And we think this is our right. And the minute we do this, realize that the table has turned now. And you are the zalim. And you are the tyrant. And the one that has initially made fun of you, now he is the one. You owe him your good deeds. So we have to be very careful about that. The second level, which is halal and permissible, but it is not encouraged, is to respond to evil with the same amount of evil. So if somebody is sarcastic to us, it is halal in his face, not behind his back. It is halal that we are sarcastic back at him. It's not encouraged, but Allah knows our sharia, our nature. Allah knows that not all of us can forgive. So Allah says, if somebody does wrong, you have the right to do the exact same wrong back to him. Al-Hasan al-Basri commented on this verse. He said, and how do you know you did the exact same? What if you went more than this? Because in the end of the day, when he makes a sarcastic comment, you're not going to make the same sarcastic comment, are you? You will have to change the joke and have sarcastic comment at him. What if your comment went beyond what he did to you? How do you know on the Day of Judgment? So Al-Hasan al-Basri warned us, he said, how do you know that you went the exact same amount? How can you apply this rule 100% with precision? Who amongst us can do this? Meaning, what was Hasan al-Basri's point? Forgive and move on. That was what his point was. So this is jaiz. And alhamdulillah, we thank Allah that our religion allows us to do this. And this leads to the third point. And that is the third way to respond. And that is to forgive and move on. And this is good. We don't hold a grudge in our hearts. We expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward us. But at the same time, We don't mend, if you like, a broken relationship. We simply are lukewarm about it. We don't. If we had a good friend, once a bad thing happens, khalas, we say salam in the masjid, but we don't go back to that friendship status. We are good to him in our hearts, but we don't have the same friendship. This is no doubt good. We have forgiven, but we haven't quite forgotten. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages this, but the highest level is to forgive and to forget, to move on and to mend, to go back to how the relationship was. This is the highest level. And this is what Allah says, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ. You can forgive, but you don't have the sulh. That's good. But if you forgive and you have the sulh, sulh means you mend, you make it back, you repair. That is the highest level. And this, of course, Allah Azza wa Jal praises in the Quran in so many verses. Allah says, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. That good and evil are not the same. Being good and being nasty are not the same. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. When somebody is nasty, return it with good. When somebody is mean, be nice back to him. What will happen? فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةً كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. You will find the one who was your worst enemy will become your best friend. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. Only the people of great patience and only the people of great fortune and reward will be able to get to that level. That is the highest level, the fourth level, and that is to return evil with good. To forgive and forget and repair and mend up. To be the better of the two. To practice what Abu Bakr practiced with his cousin Mistah. After all that Mistah had done, Abu Bakr in fact increased the stipend he would give Mistah. Until the day Abu Bakr died, Mistah got an increased stipend after Mistah had slandered his own cousin and the mother of the believers. This is why Allah called Abu Bakr Ulul Fadli Minkum, the people of dignity and character amongst you. And that is the relationship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to have. Very quickly before I conclude, how does one go about doing this? And much can be said. Two simple points, psychological and Islamic. Two simple points. How does one forgive and forget? First point, psychological. Second point, Islamic. As for the psychological point, nothing to do with religion, human nature. My dear brothers and sisters, realize, the more you hold a grudge, the longer your heart is burning, the longer you feel the pain, the fact of the matter is, the longer you are letting the other person control you and your happiness and your freedom. The longer you hold that pain in your heart, then the longer you are allowing the person who has caused you the pain to win. Because in reality, you are a hostage to him and his emotions. Your happiness is kept in check because your heart is suffering grief because of him. So even from a purely psychological standpoint, let go of that grief. Cut off that anger. Get rid of that grudge so that you can enjoy life. Enjoy the positives that this world has to offer you. Even from a psychological perspective, people that have nothing to do with religion, they tell us it is better to be forgiving and cheerful, to turn the other cheek, just to get rid of that grudge. Why? Because when you're holding a grudge, you are depriving yourself. Wallahi, you know this and I know this, that when we hold a grudge, we don't even notice the beautiful air, the nice breeze, the smell of the flowers, you know, our wives and children. We ignore all of this because that grudge is in our heart. We are held hostage to the very person whom we don't want to be hostage to. So even from a psychological standpoint, my dear brothers and sisters, just cut off that grief. Just get rid of it. Have your heart clean and pure so that you can enjoy this world and the next. And then of course, from the Islamic perspective, realize that when you give up that pain and that anger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you much more. It is true that revenge is sweet, but the reward from Allah is sweeter. And this is what we need to realize and believe, my dear brothers and sisters, that Allah says in the Quran, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Whoever forgives and mends, Allah will reward him. Allah says in the Quran, وَأَنْ تَعْفُوا أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. If you forgive, that is closer to piety. Allah says in the Quran, وَأَنْ تَغْفِرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. If you forgive, then Allah is غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And Allah said to Abu Bakr, why don't you forgive him? ألا تحبون أن يغفر الله لكم. Don't you want Allah to forgive you? My dear brothers and sisters, realize the more you forgive others, the more Allah will forgive you. And that should be our main incentive to keep on forgiving. Because wallahi, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were not to forgive us, what are we going to do? So the more we are forgiving to others, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us. And I conclude by quoting a beautiful hadith of the Prophet in this regard, narrated in Sahih Muslim, that our Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only increases in honor the servant of His who keeps on forgiving. When you forgive, you are not the weaker, you are the stronger. This is what our Prophet ﷺ said. Allah will only increase you in izzah when you practice ghufran and afu. When you forgive, you are not the weaker party. Wallahi, you are the stronger party. And Allah Azza wa Jal will raise your rank and respect and your status in this world before the next. My dear brothers and sisters, let us learn from today onwards to forgive those who wrong us. Even if they're, especially if they're family and friends, especially if they're parents and siblings and brothers and sisters, especially if they're sons and daughters. If we're going to hold grudges and they're going to hold grudges, how will any family flourish? Let us forgive and forget. Let us turn the other cheek. Let us be the better of the two people, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Abu Bakr to be. And when we do this, what will happen? Allah has promised us that when we repay evil with good, the person who was your enemy will become your best friend. I swear by Allah, I have seen this in my life because Allah said so. And you as well, when you try it in your own lives, you will see it as well, because the promise of Allah is true. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those whose hearts are pure and clean. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to the best of all manners, for none can guide other than Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turn us away from all evil manners, for none can turn us away other than Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us righteous wherever we are. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us in our families, in our wealth, in our progeny, in our lives, in our health. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us to live as Muslims, to die as Muslims, and to be resurrected amongst the believers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala return honor and glory to this ummah as it used to be. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give izzah to the Muslims wherever they are. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant peace and security to all troubled lands. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the shafa'a of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibadallah, inna Allah ta'ala amarakum bi amrin bada'a به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه فقال عز من قائل عليما إن الله وملائكة يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك رسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين عباد الله إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر وأقم الصلاة